Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So have you all learned these two verses, Narayanam Namaskritam, yet? Or are some of you? So every time there's so many new people. Okay, we'll say it one line by one line, okay? Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaivam narottamam.
Naram chaivam narottamam.
Devim saraswatim vyasam. Tato jayam udirayat. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Narayan, the personality of Godhead,
unto
Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the transcendental Lord, unto the Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Very good, Jai. Srila Prabhupada, we're on text 16. It's a long purport today. Oh, chapter 2. Nope, chapter 1, text 16. Yeah. Grihat. Okay. Grihat pravarjito dira. Punyatirta jalaputa. Sochau vivikta asino. Vidhivat kalpitasane. Grihat pravarjito dira. Punyatirta jalaputaha. Sochau vivikta asino. Vidhivat kalpitasane. Grihat pravrajito dira. Punyatirta jalaputaha. Sochau vivikta asino. Vividhat kalpatasane. Grihat pravarjito dira. Punyatirta jalaputa. Sochau vivikta asino. Vidivat kalpitasane. Grihat pravarjito dira. Punyatirta jalaputaha. Sucho vivikta asino. vividat kalpitasane grihat pravrajito dira punyatirta jalaplutaha sucha vivikasino vividat kalpitasina grihat from one's home pravrajita having gone out dira self-control punya pious tirta sacred place asina oops no sorry jalap alputa fully washed sochau cleansed vivikte solitary asina seated vidhi vat according to regulations kalpita having done asane on a sitting place. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. Please repeat. One should leave home, and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place, duly sanctified. So let's get a little bit of things in perspective. Where are we at in this story? What's going on in this story? Why are we at this place right now? What was happening before this verse? What's the story? What to do at the time of death. And so Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is now explaining, this chapter is called The First Steps in God, in Self-Realization, in God-Realization. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining what to do, how to face death in an intelligent manner. So he's explaining so many things that this human life is a rare gift. And if you just waste it, it's such a great loss. So he's been saying that a couple of times in previous verses, and in the purport it was mentioned. And today again, Prabhupada's going to hammer this point home, because it's, we get stuck in a comfortable position and we think that that's what's going to make me happy. But Prabhupada's going to explain. We'll start on the purport. To prepare oneself for a better next life, one must get out of one's so-called home. What do you think about that statement? How does that make you feel? Clayton? Clayton's making very rapid progress here. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Get out of your house. Oh, not that one. But at least that's what you're doing by coming to Krishna House. You're preparing yourself for a better next life. Okay. The system of Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma prescribes retirement from family encumbrances as early as possible, but after one has passed 50 years of age. Modern civilization is based on family comforts, the highest standard of amenities, and therefore after retirement, everyone expects to live a very comfortable life in a well-furnished home or condominium decorated with fine ladies and children, without any desire to get out of such a comfortable home. High government officers and ministers stick to their prized posts until death, and they never dream or desire to get out of homely comforts, bound by such hallucinations. Interesting choice of words, eh? Bound by such hallucinations, materialistic men prepare various plans for a still more comfortable life. But suddenly, cruel death comes without any mercy and takes away the great, here's this is Prabhupada's cute, the great plan maker, She's making so many plans. But suddenly cruel death comes and takes away the great plan maker against his desire, forcing him to give up his present body for another body. So what good were all his plans? Such a plan maker is thus forced, no choice involved, forced to accept another body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life according to the fruits of work, of the work he has performed. In the next life, persons who are too much attached to family comforts are generally awarded lower species of life on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life. And thus, the energy of the human life is spoiled. In order to be saved from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attached to unreal things, one must take the warning of death at the age of 50, if not earlier. Clayton, do you want to grab the microphone there and continue reading, please? And then go up, pass it around that way. Battery's dead? How unusual. The principle is that one should take it for granted that the death warning is already there, even prior to the attainment of 50 years of age. I'll just finish this sentence.
Okay.
And thus, at any stage of life, one should prepare himself for a better next life.
The system of the Sanatana Dharma institution is so made that the follower is trained for the better next life without any chance that the human life will be spoiled. The holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purposes of retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Intelligent persons must go there at the end of life, and for that matter, after 50 years of age, to live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid
of material attachment as long as one is materially attached. And as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. Very interesting, right? As long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home or by creating another home at a holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practices self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal, or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-control in regard to sense desires, especially sex desire. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deer skin, and carpet. I wanted a deer skin. What? Okay, we'll get to that. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified straw, deer skin, and carpet, and thus sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of the Lord without offense, as prescribed above. The whole process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. This simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of material success. Did I say material? My God. Spiritual success. I'm glad you were listening. Thank you. Clayton?
Why should the yogi or aspiring yogi sit on a deer skin if we're not supposed to kill
That's
animals.
A very good question. We usually don't start out with questions, but we will
Sorry,
today. That's
just,
okay. That's okay.
That's been bothering me since months ago, since
deer,
I first
deer
read
skin, Okay, so Prabhupada says that a deer skin is antiseptic. There's something about the chemicals in the deer's skin. It's not that the yogi should kill the deer himself. That's not the idea. But sometimes there are hunters in the forest that do that. One acquires one of those. And he sits on the, he puts the deer skin down and then the mat, because the deer skin repels snakes that might come. You know, if he's thinking about anything like that, snakes and other insects. So therefore he's got like an oasis. That's repellent to bugs and scorpions and things that would distract you from your meditation. But the point is also, and the point that I was going to make the distinction of, this is describing the system of yoga, a system of yoga, Ashtanga yoga. There's so many different practices of yoga. And it's different from this practice that we're doing of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, as you become more familiar in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the different processes of yoga. It's described as a ladder. There's so many different stages on that ladder of how to make progress and detach oneself from material life so that one can fix one's mind on spiritual progress. So that was very applicable in previous ages when there were still sacred places and still uninhabited forests, easily accessible for people. Now that's not even accessible. Prabhupada, he always emphasizes when he talks about the yoga system, how it's meant to be performed in a secluded place. That's mentioned here, right in the verse. One should sit in a lonely place, in a secluded place. But not only should it be a secluded place, but it should be a sacred place. So hard to find a lonely place. Hard to find a sacred place. So where does that leave us? That leaves us all at Krishna house, right in the middle, you know, performing bhakti yoga. It's a different, it's the same teachings, but it's applied differently in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. But the principles are the same. So here is also, too, explaining about this term that you're becoming familiar with, Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma, that system of four orders of life, four orders of material life, four orders of spiritual life. There's the student life, there's household life, there's retired life, and there's sannyas life. Renounced life, sannyas life. And then there's also orders in life as householders. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. So you get those systems together, and the whole idea is, the goal of it is to gradually practice, whatever stage of life you're at, to practice focusing your mind on a spiritual goal of life and detaching yourself from the present situation. Obviously, we have this the nature of material life, material illusion, is to think that this life is the all in all. And how to be happy is to pamper the body and make the body comfortable in so many ways. And however that takes. And we all have different desires, different things are appealing to different people and different types of people. But ultimately it all boils down to how can I be happy? But the I, who is the I? If the I is identified as this body, then the whole calculation, everything that we're doing is going to be faulty if the I is considered this body. But so the system of Varnashram Dharma is to emphasize that the I, who we are, is actually spiritual. Its our identity is beyond this body. It's the ABCs. These are ABCs of spiritual understanding. You're not your body. Then who are you? You're spirit soul. You're a servant of Krishna. These are very basic beginning steps in self-realization. But in the present age, they're huge. They're hugely different from the way the whole society is going. There's a huge difference in that. And so Prabhupada, when he explains how if you're an engineer and you're trying to figure out, you know, a bridge, you know, the length and the bridge and the weight load and the this load and the wind load and so many loads that I don't understand about bridges. But anyway, if you're trying to calculate how big the bridge should be and what it should look like and this and that, if your calculation, your very first calculation, the bridge should be 52 feet long. If that's wrong, then it's a big waste, right? It's a danger. It's a huge waste of money, time, endeavor. It'll never work. Oh, it should be, you know, 55 feet and you're in the middle of the program and you're trying to make the adjustment. It never is going to work. So similarly, if we're trained, if a person is absorbed in the bodily concept of life from the very beginning of his existence in this body, and never gets real knowledge that this isn't real. This life is temporary. This isn't the all in all. If you never get that information that all the endeavors that you make in your life are, not only are they a waste of time, but there was one thing that Prabhupada said in the purport. Did you catch it? In the, he said, suicidal, but he also said, a long life of sinful activity. Something about in the next life, persons who are too much attached to family comforts and are generally awarded lower species of life on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life. So it explains what how one accumulates the different fruits of activities. So we're, even when one performs even maybe a good act, there's a reaction there. And the reactions are, they're on the subtle plane and on the gross platform too. There's a subtle, if there's a feeling of euphoria, oh, I just gave some money to a poor beggar and I feel good about that. So then there's the tendency to want to do it again. And then there's the reaction for doing that. So there's two reactions. Oftentimes you think of sinful reaction. You do something wrong. You think, oh, I'm going to suffer from that. But you're going to suffer in two ways. You're going to suffer in more than two ways, but directly you're going to suffer in two ways. One is the reaction, the physical reaction or emotional reaction from that. And the other is the inclination to do it again. So that is really entangling. So just take XYZ, our classic example of sinful life, entangling in sinful life, eating meat. So the reaction that's explained in Padma Purana that there's the inclination, for eating of meat, what's the reaction? Have you heard? Daniel, do you remember what the reaction is? The classic example reaction.
Well, doesn't that animal come back and eat you in the next life?
That could possibly happen. There's an... Clayton?
It's that for every hair on the body of one animal killed that you eat, you have to come back as many lifetimes as there is hairs on that body.
Exactly. For the killing of a cow.
Yeah, for a cow.
For the killing
of
a cow. Its cow is considered so sacred and so valuable of an animal that for every hair on that cow's body, one has to come back and take another birth. Incredible. And it's like, you're just like flabbergasted. But there's another reaction. Yes? Do you have a question? She's the kitchen. She can hear, but that's all right.
Well, no, it's okay. So what about us that used to eat meat?
Okay, that's a good question. Can I get there in a minute?
Yes.
I'm listening. Okay, all right. Remind me to go there in a minute, okay? But let's go to here. So for every hair on the cow's body, a person has to come back and suffer. But that's not the only reaction. That's not the only reaction. See, that's the classic example that's given, and so we kind of know that answer. That's not the only reaction. The other reaction is subtle. The other reaction is the inclination to do it again. Hare Krishna. And so now when we read this sentence, on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life, even it has more weight to it, no? That because not only are the acts performed and then the heavy duty reaction is there, but then the subtle reaction is in the next life, or even in this life, obviously, but still in the next life, one is carrying around inclinations to go towards that sinful activity again. Heavy. So how can one work out their karmic dues? They can't. That's the point. That's the point of, you know, material life. That's the point of when Prabhupada says this material world is entangling. This is what it means. It's so entangling that there's no way one can work out their karma, because every work is incurring more karma. So, to answer the kitchen's question, Estefania's question, so how does one work out that? So then there's the yoga ladder. Krishna explains the yoga ladder. There's this way, there's that way, there's this way. But all of those steps on the yoga ladder are not necessarily transcendental. Only bhakti yoga has a transcend. It's above the actions of the good and bad of karma. It's transcendental because it's directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. And then there's karma, there's akarma, vikarma, and karma. Three types of karmic activities. So vikarma means those type of activities have no karmic reaction. Thank you. I just say these things to make sure he stays awake. Very good. I need a referee, Brahman. Then the class comes out of bed. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Akarma. Only akarma things help one. They have no reaction. They have a transcendental effect. So that's for those of us, and for anyone engaged in that has so much sinful reactions from this life or previous lives or whatever. By engaging in devotional service, that's how one becomes free from the resultant acts of previous lives. So when we hear little bits and pieces of this the philosophy, and when you start putting it all together, how important it is to engage in devotional service, and how entangling materialistic life is. And everything, then it's very weighty. It's very weighty. So Prabhupada says over and over again, don't waste your life. Don't waste this opportunity. We mentioned many times, but 8,400,000 different species of life is a long journey to get to human form of life. And what's the characteristic? What's so great about human life? There's still the tendency, just like the animals have the tendency. They have tendency eating. We need to eat. They need to eat. They sleep. We sleep. They defend. We defend. They mate and we mate. So those activities are similar, but the only difference is to develop consciousness in the human form of life to question, why am I here? What's the value of life? Where am I going with all of this? Where am I going with this huge, hard endeavor for just to maintain myself? I mean, life now is so difficult just to maintain yourself single. What to speak of when you get married and you are maintaining two people, three people, four people. It's so difficult. Just to live. We've made it so difficult. It used to be much simpler. Everyone's laughing. Well, oh. Aha! Anyway, but, you know, it's so difficult. And that's just economically speaking, right? What to speak of, you know, socially, just to speak of relationship-wise. Relationships are so... All these basic things, you know, animals get along just fine. But we made it so complicated, you know, that it's like ridiculous. So you got this huge, huge struggle to maintain one person. What's the sense? If your whole calculation is off, I'm the body and I need to be comfortable. Oh my God. So entangling. And so here, this, purport start, you know, the verse says one should leave home right away, go to the forest and sit in a lonely place and chant. It's not, so that's true. It's not what's recommended in this age. In this age, one should take to Krishna consciousness however they can and chant Hare Krishna, live in the association with devotees. It's a different, you know, it's the same basic teachings with that, even a more transcendental, a quicker result. Because, and so why are we authorized, why is it that we can say, oh, here in this verse in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't apply to us? I thought we weren't supposed to change things I thought we were supposed to present things as they are. So is this Srimad Bhagavatam as it was? Or, no, is this class? This is the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is here, and Srimad Bhagavatam as it was is the class? Why are we authorized to say that? Or are we authorized? What's the difference? Clayton G?
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I know in a small book in Perfection Yoga, Prabhupada says that it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aren't we saying that because Prabhupada says it's not possible in this age? But don't Arjuna and Krishna agree in the Bhagavad Gita that it's also not possible?
Arjuna says, this yoga that you've described is impossible. It's more difficult to control the mind than it is to control the wind. Okay, so which can you think of? The form of Krishna that's given us a different method of chanting in this age of Kali? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who advented just a few years ago, just within our vision, Prabhupada says, just a few years ago, 500 or a little bit more now, years ago, he started propagating this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the Sankirtan Yoga. This is the age of Kali. This age that Sukadeva Goswami is speaking of is a different age, different time in the creation of the universe. And this age now in this Kali Yuga is the winter season. And duration of life is less. People's intelligence is less. Their determination, their endeavor for self-realization is less. So to have these instructions of going to the forest, you can't even do that. You can't even do that in this age. There's not even a forest to go to, and if you did, you'd probably still be arrested anyway for vagrancy, right? You know? So, I want to hear from you, not the same yous, different yous. What are some of your impressions from these instructions here? What are some of your impressions and how to follow them? Are you going to volunteer? From the instructions that we've been given here. Well, first of all, how about this? Can you summarize some of the instructions that you heard from this purport? Derek G. Okay, so I tricked you.
I guess the summary would be just to, get serious, you know, no matter what stage you are in, and just really practice Krishna consciousness now. Now is just emphasizing no matter what, if you're in family life or not in family life, whatever, just get serious now.
Okay, so now can you give us some of your impressions of that?
Actually, I had a question, kind of relating to that, though. Because, this sounds really good and, you know, just, you know, do everything now. And, you know, even if you like doing Krishna consciousness all the time, you know, like, most of us here, we like, you know, doing Krishna consciousness, or things relating to Krishna, because that's why we're here. But then outside of this Krishna house, like other people in general, like your friends, family, they like, you don't have to be Krishna all the time, not every moment of your life. You know, you don't have to be so much into it all the time. And they're like serious about that, and then they really can't understand. So my question is, how do you reply to that? You know, like, I mean, it's a legitimate thing, because they think that's just not healthy. I guess, you know, you don't have to do it all the time.
Okay. I see a hand from a great sage here in the corner.
Okay, well, but why are you in Maya all the time? You don't have to be in Maya all the time. You could generate Krishna a little bit.
Oh, that's called turn the tables. Someone else? How could you reply, Olivia?
It doesn't work for family.
Thank you for saying that. Putting it in perspective. Okay. So the thing is, you guys face this a lot. We all face it. It's not that only you guys face it.
I mean,
so
this is a true situation.
This is reality.
This just actually just happened, and this person was telling me, like, you know,
just don't. This is what they're saying, more or less.
You know, God is always with you, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you can do, you know, other things. I'm like, well, if it has something to do with him, I mean, I want to do it. If it's not, I mean, I really, you know, probably not interested. But it was like, well, he's always with you. I'm like, so you can just, you know, be doing something and know that he's with you. I said, well, he may be with you, but he doesn't want to be ignored either. Just like, okay, he's here, but I'm not thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just, mm-hmm. I was trying to explain it in a really nice way. You know, it's just like, if, you know, he wants us to be a part of his family. So if we do stuff, just include him. I can do anything that, you know, you want to do, but let's do something that's going to include him. If it can include him, I want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but
so
they still can't understand. They just like,
your answer was very good. It wasn't that your answer wasn't very good. It wasn't that your answer had no potency and therefore they couldn't understand it. And if somebody else would have given the answer, but your answer was great. And how is it that they couldn't understand? Because they're not quite fortunate just yet. But by your association, little by little, they'll get more fortunate. Why is it that they can't understand? Because that same example about eating the meat, it covers your consciousness. It covers your consciousness so much that, like we mentioned many times, and we've experienced personally in our own lives, that for so many years before we took to Krishna consciousness, we never made a connection, a conscious connection, what we're eating and what it is, or what it was, or who it was. We never made that connection. Why? Because that's the reaction. It dulls your consciousness, and one becomes unable to actually, you know, understand those things. So in one sense, they, whoever the they may be, they, the family that are very dear to us, or they, our co-workers, or the they, whoever the they may be, can't really understand. But that doesn't mean that they will never be able to understand. That doesn't mean that we can't do something to help them understand and that they can benefit by. But that's how I would, you know, and that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasizes over and over again how association is so, so important. And how Prabhupada says right in the very first few sentences of this paragraph, you have to get out of a situation like that. You can't stay in a situation like that, because their emphasis, even if they're thinking that we're religious people, but they have no real conception of who is God and what is religion. You know, they have some concocted idea of who is God and how to be good. I mean, that's reality. That's why we need to associate with devotees. Kalakanta, did you have your hand raised again?
I want to interrupt. Yeah, I appreciate that answer. And the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the wise should not disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive activities, but rather, remember, engage them in works of devotion. So Olivia's right. This is a disingenuous answer to certainly to a family member. No, why don't you just chant Hare Krishna? But you might say that to a friend. But for family members, it's better to just give them prasadam. And let's say you're going to the zoo with your family, right? So if you don't go to the zoo, say, no, that's mine. I'm not going to the zoo with you. Well, what are they going to think? Oh, I hate Krishna consciousness. So better to go to the zoo and just be a normal person and just relate to them and tolerate it for a short time, and then they'll have a better impression of Krishna. So in that way, you're doing it for Krishna. That's my realization on this subject.
Another thing is that you're seeing all the animals. You say, wow, there's so many different species of life. And the human form of life is... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, one more thing. I feel sometimes it's more important for us to be convinced and not to be affected by their statements rather than trying to convince them.
Another good point, Baladev.
Also, if family members are not so comfortable, you wearing dhoti tilak and you go into a public place, perhaps it's a good way to just use a yogi pant and a kurta or a shirt that camouflages your devotee. But I mean, we know that the great acharyas, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was preaching, he would wear a tuxedo and all that just to present Krishna consciousness. And that's also preaching.
Like, this is talking about family life and how you're not supposed to be attached to it and you should leave your family. And is that relating to all families, or is it just like karmic families or devotee families? Are you supposed to actually leave your family?
That's a really good question. And it's often that concept of families are maya. Children especially, babies are really just stew bags. And, oh my God, stewy babies. And one should be detached. That concept in the beginning of our movement, that impression that we had by reading these things, that really caused a lot of pain. It really caused a lot of havoc in our movement. So how do we understand it? We have to understand it in its proper position. So this purport's talking about how one has to leave the family, the comforts of home, and then it says, after 50 years of age. So, and then that refers to the Vanashram system of how one in his younger years they get trained that there's a spiritual goal in life, in the student life. They get trained. Then they enter into household life. And so then there's relationship there. How can it be that one can be in a situation married to a person, having children, and be, you know, so cold and so detached? It's not going to work that way. And also the desires that one has we'll go forget those desires for a minute. So it has to be properly presented. So here's my wife, here's my husband, here's my children. Let's try to become Krishna conscious. How to develop our Krishna consciousness in a very nice way. And when we go to the zoo, when we bring our kids to the zoo, then we can say, oh, look at all the different species of life. Krishna's in their heart. So many things like that. Put it in perspective. But in the back of our mind, we can't lose perspective that there's a spiritual goal in life. We need to do this. We're in this body. We need to engage the body in so many activities and cultivate spiritual life side by side. If we, it's not that, although detachment is often emphasized, it's very important, we've gone that route of becoming theoretically detached from one situation, and Prabhupada refers to it in the purport, how somebody might leave home prematurely, being temporarily enthused with spiritual knowledge, but not able to maintain it, and then what? Look for another relationship in the holy place and create another family situation. So in spiritual life, so that's called what you were presenting, that's called taking the information out of context. We're not supposed to take it out of context, but we're supposed to see it in the whole perspective of things. Don't take that information of becoming detached from family life and out of context from the whole life. which is what we did when we first, you know, in our first attempts of spiritual progress. We would take it out of context and cause so much pain in families. We have a very bad record for that. So that's a general answer. There's way much more information that can be given. But still, the point is that unless we focus our mind and understand that there is a very important goal of life, and there is that this life is temporary and so many things, then you get totally, you can just see how the material energy steals away your time on all your endeavors just to maintain the body and the family and the this and the that. And then you think, okay, when I'm older, then I'll take the spiritual life. No, you won't. Not unless you've done it in throughout your life. You can't just take it up. Olivia's closer than.
I've heard that, like your family, your husband, your children, if it's a Krishna conscious relationships, then you'll know them in the spiritual world in your next, you know, in your life to come in the spiritual world. But how does that work if we've had many births? And what if, like, you don't perfect your life in this life, and so then you're born again on the material world, and then you have another Krishna conscious family, and you have all these Krishna conscious families. I mean, which one do you?
That's kind of like the I'm not 100% familiar with Mormon philosophy, but the Mormons they're saying that this life, you know, we'll all go back to Godhead together, and there'll be grandma, and there'll be the dog, and there'll be this and that, and we'll be. And it's just so, okay. So anyway, I've never read that, that the people, okay, I'll start with one thing. The question is that she's heard that, that the relationship that you have with your husband and your family and this and that, as you're in devotional service, you'll know them in the spiritual world. So we'll have a relationship there in the spiritual world. But how that'll be will be totally, you know, left to be totally different, most likely. Like, Prabhupada did say, I can quote one little thing that what Prabhupada said. He said, there'll be an ISKCON in the spiritual world, and we'll all know each other. Yeah, some people say Hari Bol, and some people say, hey, I'm not going. No. No. You have to stick around longer through a few more disagreements. Anyway, so the thing is that we have a material conception. We can't impose our material conception on what the spiritual world is like. Even when you hear of like the Goswamis, okay? So Srila Rupa Goswami, he has his identity in the spiritual world as Rupa Manjari. It's totally different from his. Even as the great Acharya, Rupa Goswami, it's a totally different, you know, body. He has a young gopi, Manjari, in the spiritual world, and he was a renunciate in the material world. So it's a total different thing. Now, did he know his family members? I don't know. We'll have to wait and ask somebody else.
It just seems like, I mean, if sex indulgence is suicidal, then it seems like getting married and having children in this life is just suicidal.
To answer your question directly, yes, it is. And then, let's say, no, it's a totally good question. I can totally relate to this question. But the thing is that we have this body based on activities that we did in millions of other lives. And we have just like the reactions that one has to sinful activities are compared to mustard seeds. Like if one compared them to mustard seeds, we have this huge bag of mustard seed resultant activities. You know, some good, some bad. You take a little handful of that, and that's what this life is. It's just a few of the reactions. Just like when we talked about meat eating. The reaction for meat eating is that one has to take birth for all the hairs on the body of the cow over and over again. So that's going to fill up a bag already with different thing. So how many times we did that, a person might have done that in this lifetime. So this is huge. So how many lifetimes did one have? My gosh, you know, the bag gets bigger and bigger. So in this life, we have a few where the prarabdha karma, the manifest karma in this life, is just some of our previous activities manifest in this body. So with that explanation, then we have desires. We have inclinations from previous lives, from this life, from so many things. And if one cuts them off without full knowledge, without the full transcendental taste for spiritual life, then they surface up every now and then, and they'll pull one away. So Krishna consciousness, although it appears like fanaticism, it's actually not a fanatical, properly executed, it's not fanaticism. It's not extremism. It's how to live one's life in a way that one reaches the ultimate goal of life. So, oftentimes by the grace of Krishna and his devotees, sometimes the desire for Krishna consciousness is very, very strong in our heart. And sometimes, after an amount of time, it gets covered a little bit, or it gets, life comes in so many ways, and life's desires come in, and one isn't as always as enthusiastic as they might presently be. Gradually, if one attains Krishna consciousness, if one practices, gradually their strength and endeavor and realization increases. But sometimes Krishna, out of his mercy, he gives one an awful lot of realization in a short time. But what we want to be is not a shooting star. We're in for the long haul. So it's explained in the scriptures that the grihastha ashram, marriage ashram, is a safe boat to cross the ocean of material existence. It's a safe boat because the inclinations for relationships are very strong in the heart of each one of us. So it's a safe boat. Now, if you don't have to enter into it anytime soon, and it doesn't mean that everyone who's in the grihastha ashram is totally in maya either. It's just that, you know, just like in Prabhupada when he came over on the Jaladuta, he crossed the ocean. At different times in the ocean crossing, there are storms. The waves are much higher. And sometimes the waves are slow, more calm and everything. But to cross the ocean is a huge endeavor. So one wants to be in the best position possible.
It seems like being born into the body of a woman in this lifetime, then there's no way to go back to Godhead after this life because you have to get married and have children, and that's sex life. And the only way, I mean, to be completely renounced would be to take sannyas, and that's only really possible for a man. So
it seems that way. And oftentimes, like I said, I can totally relate to these questions. So it seems that way. But actually, the whole point of Krishna consciousness means to do everything with Krishna in mind. Krishna never leaves anybody out of the picture as far as their ability to go back to Godhead. Only sannyasis can go back to Godhead. It never says that anywhere in the scriptures. Although renunciation is recommended, although this entanglement is often talked against, entanglement in household or life is talked against, still, by the practice of bhakti yoga, anyone can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime if they take up the process sincerely and dedicate their lives to doing things for Krishna's pleasure. We'll get back to this in a minute, and we'll say our favorite prayer of the day. Sadidah.